Job chapter 28. So there are five wisdom books: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And let's take a look at Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. And let's go down to verse 12. If you read Job, it's a great book about the difficulties, trials, tribulations of life, and how a man endured more than any of us have ever gone through. And he made it. And he trusted the Lord, and the Lord greatly blessed him at the end. In fact, he has more at the end than he does at the beginning. Now, does that sound familiar? He had more at the end than he did at the beginning. So you might have a lot now, or you may not have a lot. But if you're saved, you get a lot more at the end. It gets better at the end. So you read the book and you read this back and forth between Job and his three, quote, friends. And I say, quote, friends, because there's a place where he actually says, miserable comforters are you all, referring to his friends. And they didn't really help him a whole lot. But when you read this conversation between Job and his three buddies, you get a lot of insight into all kinds of things. There's a lot of science in Job. And his friends will say some things that are, I mean, some good science. I mean, better than the science we got today. Oh, yeah. And Job will say some things. And then the Lord shows up in chapter 38, and he starts talking scientifically. It's pretty neat. So Job 28, right around the middle of the book, I guess about two-thirds of the way through the book here, when you get to 28. Let's read verse 12 all the way down to the end of the chapter. So from 12 down to 28, and you'll see something that's a theme here. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The deaf saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Did you catch a common theme in those verses we read from 12 down to 28? Anybody? You saw wisdom a few times there. Actually, you see understanding as well, but I want to focus on wisdom tonight. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us through this, all right? Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ for help tonight. We need help because there's no way that we can get anything from your words in this message unless you are in it. And we are asking for you to have your way tonight in the hearts of every one of us. We acknowledge that we need what your word says, and we need to put it into action and apply it. And I pray for help both understanding tonight and also applying it in the week ahead. We just want to ask for all of us to have a heart that is ready to receive your truth, and that you would do a work in each of us tonight. And we pray that the name of Jesus Christ truly be lifted up tonight, and that you would really receive the glory you deserve, Lord God. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what is it that you really, really, really need more than anything else? Let me give you some options here. I'll give you some options. Somebody already answered back there. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to play along with the preacher here. So I'll give you some options. I'm a Chevy guy. I've actually, since I married Sherry, now we're Honda people, and I found that Hondas, you take care of Hondas, they run for a long time. But for a long time, I had a Chevy Camaro. I had actually four different Chevy Camaros. I had an 81, an 85, an 89, and a 99. And I could really use a 2021 Chevy Camaro. I mean, I need one of those. I mean, we got the Honda out here. It's got almost 300,000 miles. I got a used Buick Regal at home. I mean, I need a Camaro, right? Oh, I got an amen right now. There's something I need a whole lot more than that. Now, you might be thinking, you need a better job. One that pays better. One that provides a better work environment. One that doesn't mandate the vaccine. Now, I will tell you, I know there's a lot of issues with jobs today, but if you got a job, you need to thank God you got a job. I know I have never worked in a perfect place, and I never will. It's the way it is. You can always find something to complain about with your job, can't you? So if you think you're going to find a job that you won't complain about, you're never going to find it. It's never going to be anything perfect. And I know that we all need an income, and jobs obviously help with that, but there's actually something you need more than you need your job, or even a better job. Maybe somebody says, I could use some more money. I mean, we could all use some more money, right? Money to invest. Money to put towards retirement. Sherry and I got kind of a late start on that, and I could certainly use some more to put towards retirement. Money to pay off your car, or to pay off your house, or to pay off whatever bills you have. We could all use some more money, right? Well, there's something you could use more than more money. Something you need more than more money. Here's one that gets me every time. You know what I could use? You know what I need? And you probably relate to this one. How about some more time? I get 27 hours in a day instead of 24 and get a lot more done. And the Bible actually has some things to say about that in Proverbs, where you can actually get length of days. I think you can get more done in 24 hours if you put the Lord first. I think that's a big difference maker. But it seems like we never have enough time to do the things that we need to do. So we could all use more time, but there's something more important than needing more time. In the day we live in, a lot of folks are thinking about their health, and they are in need of better health. And that's a need, right? But there's something more important than having a better health condition. I'll end with this one. We need things that we need. We really need. I never thought I would say this in the United States of America, but here we are. We need freedom from tyrannical leaders. We've got a few, don't we? That's what we really need. I could use that. And we could all use that, seeing the direction our country's going. Well, there is something more important than all of those things that I mentioned, and we all need it more than all those things. Anybody know what it is? We need wisdom. We can often come up with good reasons for having all these things that we need, but there's nothing more important that I need and you need than wisdom. And I'm not talking about the so-called wisdom of this world. In fact, we'll head over to 1 Corinthians 1 later on, but I'm not going to look at the passage where it says the wisdom of this world. You know what God thinks about the wisdom of this world? Anybody remember what it says over there? It's foolishness. So God's wisdom far supersedes anything this world offers. So what I thought we'd look at tonight is three things about wisdom from our passage. We'll take a look at the place of wisdom, where you can find it. We'll take a look at the price of wisdom, and we saw some things in the passage about that. And then last, we'll look at the personification of wisdom, wisdom as a person. So let's talk about the place of wisdom. Look down there at verse 12. Look what it says. But where shall wisdom be found? I think that's a great question to ask, huh? People are looking for wisdom today in all the wrong places. People look for answers today to life's most important questions in all the wrong places. So I think to say, where shall wisdom be found? We ought to know the answer to that as Bible believers. It says, the rest of verse 12, where's the place of understanding? Look down at verse 14. Look what it says on this first point, the place of wisdom. Verse 14, the depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. So wisdom is not found in the depths of the ocean.
The lost cities of the underworld. You can read about the legend of Atlantis. You won't find wisdom if you found Atlantis. And probably not even a real city, but I'll tell you real quick about Atlantis. Kind of interesting in this and connected with our study. The legend of Atlantis is a story about a moral, spiritual people who lived in a highly advanced utopian civilization. But they became greedy, petty, and morally bankrupt. And the gods, little g, became angry because the people had lost their way and turned to immoral pursuits. Isn't that interesting? And the city is no longer around, and just legend, probably never even existed. But even if you found that lost city, you know what you would not found? What would not find there? You would not find the wisdom that we all need there. You would just see remnants of something in the past that was maybe great, maybe not. So wisdom's not found in the depths of the ocean, and our passage doesn't say it right here, but you know where a man looks for wisdom besides the depths of the ocean? He doesn't just go down, he goes up. He looks for wisdom in the far reaches of outer space and comes up empty every time, doesn't he? All this speculation about, oh, if we could just get a little further out, we would have answers to this and to that, and they never find them. I'll tell you some other places where you won't find wisdom. These are places you should not look for wisdom. Don't look to the scholars for wisdom. The scholars come up short as well. They may have a lot of head knowledge, but they don't know where true wisdom is found. Wisdom is not found in the places of higher education, secular or Christian. Have you noticed that? Even your so-called Christian places of higher education, they often come up short as well when it comes to real wisdom. And then last of all, you'll like this one. Wisdom is not found in the thing that everybody's looking to today for answers. Wisdom is not found in science. How many times have you heard in the last year and a half, just follow the science. I'm just trusting the science. And what happens every time you go to the science? This week it's one thing, next week it's another thing, and then next month it completely changes. You know what? If you study science throughout the ages, I've been teaching science for a little over 20 years now, and you know what I've found out? They keep changing textbooks. You can get the same textbook company year after year after year, and you know what they do every so many years? They have to update the textbooks with the new discoveries of science that they have to change the things they once had there to update it to the new things. So that tells me that science is not an absolute. It's constantly changing. Why would you trust something that's constantly changing? You should. That's the answer to that. Speaking of science, trusting a weatherman is trusting science. How often are they correct? Hardly ever, yeah. So wisdom is not found in the depths of the ocean. Wisdom is not found in outer space. I gave you several other places. You can't find wisdom, so where do you find it? Well, let's do a little cross-reference here. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Y'all getting a little echo out there? I feel a little echo up here. It turned me down just maybe a slight notch there, Don. I don't know if that'll help. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And go down there to verse 11. And you'll see a connection here with what I just said and what Job just said. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But look at verse 14. It says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So, you know, you look at those verses right there, and he says, the commandment is not up in the heavens. It's not down below or in the sea. Where's God's word, folks? Don't you have it right in your hands tonight? If you've got it in your hands tonight, guess what you have? You have God's wisdom right in front of you, because you will find God's wisdom in His words. So go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let me show you that. Proverbs 4. If you have God's word nearby, you've got God's wisdom. So let me show you that. Over in Deuteronomy, it talks about the commandment, the words of God being nigh. Look at Proverbs 4, and you'll see some things about wisdom here connected with what God says. Look at 4:5.
4:5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the what? The words of my mouth. Notice God's wisdom and God's words go hand in hand. Look at verse 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, speaking of wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Notice there, the her and the she, that's the representative of wisdom. So notice there's a connection, if you read verses 5 and 6 there, or 4 and 5, connection between the wisdom of God and God's words. So guess what? Where can you find the wisdom of God, folks? Right in the Word of God. We don't have to hunt around for it. And it's again, people look at all the wrong places for wisdom. You can find, I've said this before, but you can find wisdom at the dollar store for $1. They have the only Bible you can find at the Dollar Tree just happens to be a King James Bible. $1. They couldn't put other versions in there because they have copyrights and it would cost them more and they couldn't sell it for $1. That's true. But the King James Bible has no copyright, so they can put it in there for $1. You can find God's wisdom in the dollar store. You pay $1 for something that has more value than any stock, any investment, anything at all. Isn't that something how God, that's the wisdom of God and the foolishness of man. Man spends all this money with exploration and trying to get all these degrees in college and seminary and so forth, and it's right here in $1, a book that costs $1. Isn't that something? That's only God would do something like that. Go back over there to Job, and look what else the Lord says about where wisdom is found. Where wisdom is found. So here's the gist of the message. There's a lot of things we could talk about that, oh, I need this and I need that. You could go out and get those things if you really think you needed them. But what we need the most is wisdom. We need God's wisdom. You know how often I need God's wisdom? You know how often you need God's wisdom? Every day. You go a day making decisions on your own without God's wisdom, you can make a mess in a day. You go down the wrong path making foolish decisions and lead you down a path that leads to destruction just one day without the wisdom of God. We need this all the time, every day. All our decisions, all our thought processes ought to involve God. What is it that you want me to do? I need your wisdom. I'm not going to go to James tonight just for time's sake, but James says all you have to do if you want wisdom is what? Ask for it. And God giveth, it says, God giveth to all men liberally. You know what that means? Liberal? Free. God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. All you got to do is ask for it. And God will give it to you. But you got to understand that God is a source of wisdom. Nowhere else will you find what you really need except from God. Look at Job 28. Look at the end of the chapter here. I guess I better get in Job. I'm in the wrong book here. Job 28. Last verse in the chapter, it says, speaking of where to find God's wisdom, it says, 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That's interesting. And to depart from evil is understanding. So you find wisdom in God's words, and it also says there that the fear of the Lord, right very plainly in verse 28, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. So do you have a fear of God tonight? And I'll tell you about the fear of God here in a minute. Let me cross-reference here. Go back to Psalms for a minute. To your right here, Psalms 110. Just a couple verses on the fear of the Lord connected with wisdom. The fear of the Lord and wisdom. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, and you'll look for something about wisdom and the fear of the Lord here. Look at verse 10. See a common thread here. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. The starting point of you and I having wisdom is fearing the Lord. Go to Proverbs. You'll see it again. So three times here. We got it in Job. We got it in Psalms. And you'll see it in Proverbs. Proverbs 9. You'll see this again. The fear of the Lord directly related to wisdom. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, look at verse 10. Proverbs 9, 10. Same thing here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the starting point to having wisdom is a healthy fear of the Lord. So let me just tell you about the fear of the Lord for a minute. When I was a kid, I found out by experience, unfortunately, I found out that if my dad said for me to do something and that there was a consequence if I didn't do it, I found by experience that he meant what he said. I tested him and I found out that, Micah, don't do this. And if I disobeyed him, there was a consequence on the backside. And it made a difference, by the way. It made me repent of my ways. That was a good thing. And it wasn't child abuse either. It hurt for a little while, and then I was okay. Like, I survived. Kids today, anyway, another message. But I found out that when he warned me about something, and then I disobeyed, there was a hefty price to pay. And as a result, I developed a healthy fear of my dad. And he's 80 years old. To this day, I still have a healthy fear of my dad. I could probably take him if we got on the ground and wrestled, but that doesn't matter. I have a healthy fear of my dad. I know not to mess with him. And I wasn't scared. Now, this is important. I was not scared to be around him unless I had done something wrong. And then I was literally scared to be around him because I know I was in trouble. I knew that he meant what he said, he was stronger than me, and that I would lose 10 times out of 10 if I tried to go against him. As a result, I developed a fear of my dad. And that was a good thing. Now, I use that earthly illustration. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles. I want to show you this. And there's a lot of weird teachings about the fear of the Lord today. So go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, just so we get clear on this. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we ought to have a very clear idea as to what that means. 2 Chronicles 14. I won't go into all the details here, but you got a situation here where the Lord, miraculously helps the Israelites in battle. And if you look at verse 11, I'm in 2 Chronicles 14, 11. This fellow named Zerah the Ethiopian comes out against the Israelites. And this is when King Asa is the king over Judah. If you look at verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. When I read Asa there, he's crying out to the Lord. I see where Asa knows he needs God to help him. He knows that the source of power is in the Lord and the Lord alone. So look what happens here in verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Now watch verse 14. God wins, he beats the Ethiopians. And look at verse 14. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar. Watch it. For the fear of the Lord came upon them. Isn't that interesting? The fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. So I noticed, as a result of what God did to the Ethiopians, all these cities round about, the fear of the Lord came upon them. So when I read that, I learned something about the fear of the Lord. These people knew that God had much more power than they did. They knew not to mess with God. They knew they would lose if they went against God. Result, they feared God. That's a good thing. And I go to that passage because we all need to remember, if you already know this, good, or you need to know, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what does that mean? That means that you don't mess with God. That means that you don't go against God. That means that you know you have no chance if you were to go against God because He's got more power than you do. That's a healthy fear of God. And according to your Bible, that's where wisdom begins. That's where to find it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let's go back there to Job. Wisdom comes from the Lord. You got His Word here, so you've got access to it. And the first step in having wisdom is, help me out, the fear of the Lord. Because, see, when you approach God's Word, if you don't have a respect for who God is and a reverence for His words, God's not going to give you anything. You got to realize these are God's words. These are sacred words. I need them. God's got something to teach me because I need to learn. God knows much more than I do. I need to learn from Him. So it all begins with the fear of God. So go back to Job 28. Let's get the second point here. So we got the place of wisdom. So hopefully now you know where to find wisdom. You find it in God's Word, and you find it having a fear of the Lord. And then look at verse 15. Let's get the second point here. The second point here is the price of wisdom. The price. You'll see several things about it. Verse 15, we'll read a few verses here. It says, it, speaking of wisdom, it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. You know what I see in verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19? I see wisdom not compared but contrasted with all the things that man thinks has value. And it's precious stones and jewelry. You notice that? So I got to thinking about this, and you'll get a kick out of this. According to these verses, if you have the wisdom of God, you have far more than Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Mark Zuckerberg, let's throw some athletes in here, LeBron James, and the notorious Conor McGregor, who is apparently the highest paid athlete. I found this out studying this. The highest paid athlete in the world is a guy who fights for a living. Isn't that interesting? So all those guys, and you could put anybody you want on the list there, all those guys have a lot of money. But look at what your Bible says about wisdom and how it's far more valuable than any amount of money that anybody could have. It mentions gold. It mentions silver. It mentions rubies. It mentions the topaz, the onyx, the sapphire. Look at verse 15 real quick here. I'll just go through these things here. It says, verse 15, it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Now, hold on a second. Didn't we just have the Olympics? Didn't we? Over in Japan, not here. But what is every Olympian striving for? Go for the gold! Okay, you didn't win the gold. The Olympic baseball team, I was hoping they'd win the gold. They played Japan in the gold medal game, and they lost. So what'd they win? They got the silver. Hey, they still won a medal. Good for them. Gold and silver, that's what men chase, don't they? People chase those valuable commodities. What's your Bible say about that? It says, it, speaking of wisdom, cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It does not matter how much gold or how much silver you had, you couldn't buy it, because wisdom has more value than any amount of gold or any amount of silver. So you know what? I know when I was in high school, they instituted baseball as an Olympic sport in 1984. That was before I was in high school. But I'm watching here and I'm thinking, man, in 92, I'll be in college. And, man, I want to play on the Olympic baseball team in 92. That didn't happen. Probably guessed. I wasn't good enough because that's a select few. But I remember following that and thinking, oh, man, if I could just be there and do that and win that gold medal. I think they won it in 92. They won several there. And notice it says there in verse 15, it cannot be gotten for gold. If I would have won a gold medal, and I had it here tonight, it would not be of more value than what it says right there, God's wisdom. It would pale in comparison to God's wisdom. And what does, haven't you seen, the whole world has been, every time after the Olympics when they end, all the talk shows, they want to interview the Olympians, right? Oh, you won the gold! You've got something great to tell us because you won the gold. Okay, you won the silver, the bronze. You still did a good job. You got something to tell us. Speak of how you did it. Tell us of your wisdom.
Folks, it doesn't matter what they tell you, it would not compare to what God can give you when it comes to wisdom. Not even close. Look at verse 16. It says there, it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir. You want to study Ophir? Ophir is mentioned several times in your Bible. And all I can tell you is if you study that, there's back there in Solomon's day in 1 Kings, it mentions the gold of Ophir. And that place there is almost always connected with, Ophir is almost always connected with gold. So obviously it was a place of great riches. But notice it says it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir. So not compared. With the precious onyx or the sapphire, the gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. Gold keeps showing up here. I see gold there in verse 15. I see it in 16. I see it in 17. And see it again in 19. So I got to looking at gold and just some things that are of value with gold. So here's what I found out. Here's this useless information that's kind of fun that goes along with the message here. So the most expensive gold coin. Anybody want to guess at the value? The most expensive gold coin. It's the Canadian giant gold Elizabeth coin. It's got the image of Queen Elizabeth on it. It's a Canadian coin. Anybody want to guess at how much it's worth? Just short of $1 million. $997,000. It's a lot of money. The most expensive gold watch is called the, I'm going to probably mess this up there the way you say it, but the Patek Philippe Super Complication Gold Pocket Watch. You want to guess at the value of that thing? $11 million for something I could hold in my hand. Are you kidding me? But notice the price that men put on what? Something made out of gold. $11 million. Oh, it gets better. The most expensive golden gadget on planet Earth. The most expensive golden gadget is the Stuart Hughes gold and black diamond iPhone 5 of all things. Isn't that crazy? A phone made out of gold. $15 million. Again, something you and I could hold in our hand and the world looks at that and says, oh, isn't it that great? $15 million. You can hold it in your hand. And you know what else you can hold in your hand that's got more value? God's Word. Isn't that something? See how the world puts value on things that don't matter. It just doesn't matter. Stick with what God gave you right here. It's better. I didn't say it, folks. God told you. It's better than any amount of money, gold, silver, rubies, doesn't matter. If you've got God's wisdom, you've got the most valuable thing you could have, right? What did Timothy say what did Paul say to Timothy? The Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. A wise person, first and foremost, gets saved because the Scriptures show you the way of salvation. That's wisdom. The world scoffs at that. The Lord scoffs at them. So stick with what God gave you right here. Now, go to verse 18. It mentions rubies. So I did a little research on rubies. The most valuable ruby in the world is called the Jubilee Ruby. It weighs in at 15.99 carats. It's the most expensive colored gemstone ever sold in an auction in the United States. It's set in a distinctive gold and diamond mounting. And it sold for $14.2 million. That comes out to be $885,000 per carat. Man, I wish I had that Jubilee Ruby, don't you? I need that Jubilee Ruby. I don't need that Jubilee Ruby. Somebody would probably try to steal it if I had it. There's something more valuable and more available. There's only one of those. Something more valuable and more available than that Jubilee Ruby, and you've got it right here. The fear of the Lord, the words of God, you've got it. Salvation, all those things better than anything you can have. I looked at this thing on the topaz, verse 19, the topaz of Ethiopia and pure gold. Regardless, you could find all things out about topaz. If you had either of these, you would have something of less value than wisdom. So it doesn't matter. You get the idea here. You could have all these things. And you know what's interesting is all these people that you know, that you see on the internet and on TV and so forth, that have all these things, for some reason they're still not satisfied with what they got, are they? They're just not happy. They could have to get more and more and more, and they're never happy. You know why? Riches don't satisfy. You know what does satisfy? The wisdom of Almighty God. Every time. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I told you I'd go over here to talk real quickly about the wisdom of this world, and we'll get to this last point here also in 1 Corinthians 1.
Look at 1 Corinthians 1 at the end of the chapter, verse 27. 1:27. 1 Corinthians 1:27. And again, I hope that you'll be reminded of maybe as you go through your week, you'll be reminded of, we often think about, oh man, I got to have this or I need this. And I need it now. I don't know if you fall into this trap. I do. And then I got to back off and say, if I got the wisdom of God, how much do I really need that thing? And I know there's some things that we need. And there are also some things that we think we need that we don't need. We just like to have them. And we'd be better off oftentimes without them. And just be satisfied with the wisdom of God. So look at verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Think about that verse if you're in Sunday school. Think about that verse in connection with jail and the certain woman who cast the piece of a millstone. Here you got, in both cases, you got a strong man. And they're conquering. And what is it that beats them? A nail. A woman with a hammer and a nail. And then a woman with a piece of a millstone. And that really threw a wrench into things. These powerful men fell. And I think that's a great illustration of that right there, what we saw. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God's really good at doing that. Look at verse 28. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. How come he does that? 29 tells you that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now watch verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Notice the wording there. Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, first and foremost, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So the last point here, get it right there from verse 30, the personification of wisdom. So if wisdom was actually a person, verse 30 tells you who it would be. Who would that be? The Lord Jesus Christ. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. He is wisdom as a person. So wisdom is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And then it tells you the Lord Jesus Christ himself is wisdom personified. Folks, there is no wisdom outside, no true wisdom outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me contrast some people here that the world looks to. How about Aristotle, the great Greek philosophers of the past? How does he stack up against the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to wisdom? No comparison. Not even close. Well, how about Plato? How about Socrates? Isn't it interesting? Men go way back in time to the Greek philosophers of a long time ago for wisdom, yet they leave out the most important one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who supersedes all of them. How about Marcus Aurelius? I don't know if you follow this thing. Stoicism is getting to be really big today, and there's actually some good things about it, having personal self-discipline and that kind of thing, taking care of your body. But Stoicism tells you that wisdom is found in you being disciplined and taking care of yourself. Now, is there wisdom in that? Yes, but you don't get God's wisdom just in that alone. You leave out Jesus Christ, you're missing the most important component, the Lord. How about King Solomon? Now, hold on a second. King Solomon, great philosopher of the past, a wise man, right? Wasn't he the wisest man in the world? Well, shouldn't we go to him for some wisdom? What do you think? Well, you can go to the Proverbs and you can get some wisdom from King Solomon. And you know what the Proverbs are going to tell you? The fear of the Lord. We just read it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You go to Proverbs 9, I believe it is, and you get, we don't have time to look at it tonight, you get wisdom personified. And the only person in your Bible that matches is, guess who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. So go to Colossians. Last place we'll go here this evening. Colossians chapter 2. On the personification of wisdom. Colossians chapter 2. Man, neat passage here to end on. I want to follow what it says. I want to read a little context, but follow verse 3 when we get down there, what it says about the Lord. But let's get a little context here. It says in verse 1, for I would, Colossians 2, 1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding,
to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of who? Okay, context. The last person mentioned in verse 2, Christ. So remember that. Christ, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. According to your Bible, don't listen to me. Look what your Bible says. According to your Bible, in Jesus Christ are hid not some, but all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you really don't need anything else, do you? Because in Him, He's wisdom personified. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that interesting how the world goes all the places except for the place? Wisdom is found. I think verse 3 is... Meditate on that verse this week. That's a great verse. Verse 3 tells you where to find wisdom, and wisdom is found in a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 3. It says, hid all the treasures. And we mentioned over there in Job, Job mentioned all these treasures that could not be compared to wisdom. And then it tells you, in Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures. You consider, think about this tonight. Do you consider the Lord to be a treasure? Well, how valuable is He? Because treasures have value. How valuable is the Lord to you? Do you have anything more valuable? Now, I don't have any money in my pocket because I don't carry cash. I got a debit card that tells me, supposedly, I have money in the account. And that comes and goes, doesn't it? You probably have the same. And then it gets even worse if you check your, if you got stocks and so forth. That's even worse. That thing's like a roller coaster, isn't it? There is just no guarantee when it comes to earthly treasures. There's no guarantee, is there? I got fooling around with, and Brother James kind of set me straight on this. I got fooling around with this cryptocurrency here a few months ago. And guess what? Made a few dollars. It wasn't a big thing. I invested a little bit of money, made a few dollars on that. I thought, man, that's pretty good. And then he was telling me about it and how it's probably going to be connected with the mark of the beast. And I said, probably ought to get away from that. Was that you telling me about that? Yeah. Probably ought to get away from that stuff. But you know what? I know people that made a lot of money with that stinking Dogecoin and Bitcoin. And they said, look at the treasures I made. And by the way, this is kind of scary. I invested, and anybody who invests in that, you're investing in something that has it's completely invisible. There's nothing tangible about it. You can't even hold it in your hand and go, look, I got a Dogecoin or I got a Bitcoin. You can't even do that. There's nothing in as far as tangible to have. And people are investing in that. And then they make fun of us for investing in someone that they say, oh, you haven't seen him, have you? Come on now. You haven't even seen what you've been investing in. Now, who's the fool? I got proof that he's real. Do you have proof that your thing is real? You don't. You got no idea who's got your money. Somebody does, but you don't even know who. Folks, I'll just wrap it up tonight. Hopefully now, after you heard the message here, looking at your Bible, you know where wisdom is found. You know there's nothing more important than wisdom. And knowing Jesus Christ is having wisdom. Just knowing Him. And in Him are all the treasures of wisdom. You have God's words. You've got the words of wisdom from Almighty God right in front of you. So here we are at the beginning of the week. And if you've been here at church today, you're off to a great start. Amen. If you came to church, there's a good chance you heard from the Lord. You got off to a great start. Now, here comes the test. What are you going to do with it? You heard a real good message this morning about truth and how you got to be careful who you listen to, right? And then tonight, you got some things about wisdom and where to really find it. What are you going to do with what you heard from God, not from Don, not from me, but what you heard from God in the week ahead? You know what? You need to be discerning about what you hear and figure out, am I hearing the truth? Am I hearing something that's not true? You also need to be very careful about decisions made without the wisdom of God, because God needs to be in all our decisions. Amen? So don't set foot out into the week without saying, Lord, I need you. I'm going to make foolish decisions without you. Lead me and guide me in your wisdom so that I go the path that you want me to go on. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for how they're so applicable. Every time we open this book, there's something for us to learn and something to apply. And I pray that we would truly
as we're off to a good start here, I pray that we would truly go forth and do something with what you have said to us here this morning and the night. God, give us guidance, give us wisdom, give us understanding. Help us to be discerning with all the foolishness and the untruths that are around us in this world. And I just pray that people right here among us and folks listening at home really would make a commitment to walk in your wisdom throughout this week. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.